Welcome to another inspirational podcast teaching by David Crank, Senior Pastor of Faith Church.
People connect, families grow, lives change. People connect, families grow, lives change.
We started a new series called All Terrain. Everybody shout All Terrain. I want to get started with just kind of sets the sermon up. There was these two little twin boys, right? And they're trying to figure out, study them, what they think, how they think. They're identical twins. So they put the one little boy in a room, and they brought in this little shiny red bike. And he looked at it. He said, "Oh, that's cool. You know, it's yours." And he goes, "Well, I'm probably going to break my leg." And so they took the other little brother in a room, and there was a pile full of manure. He walked in, and he started digging around. And they said, "What are you doing?" He said, "With this much manure, there's got to be a pony in here somewhere." And so that's kind of what our talk is about today. If your life has given you a whole lot of manure, come on, somebody ought to say amen, then start digging for the pony. Look at your neighbor and shout, "Dig for the pony, baby." Way down. All terrain. Each individual vehicle has a different purpose. You were designed for purpose. This particular vehicle was designed to go in the woods, through the desert. I mean, it's phenomenal what it can do. That vehicle over there, different kind of terrain. You and I were designed with a purpose, and we are faith beings united up to this faith God, and God has a supernatural plan for our life, and he wants to get us from here to there. But you oftentimes hear me say this, "Show me your friends, I'll show you your future." The people who you once hung out with, you're not going to be able to hang out with them any longer. You have to learn to say goodbye to the old so you can say hello to the new, okay? So, show me your friends, show your future. In this terrain series, we're going to be dealing a whole lot with faith. And right now, I want to read you this passage of Scripture, 1 Kings 18:41. Elijah said to Ahab, "Upon your feet, eat and drink." How many of y'all can handle that part? "Celebrate, the rain is on the way, I hear it coming." And Ahab did that. They ate and they drank. Meanwhile, Elijah climbed up to the top of the mountain, and he said to his associate, he said, with his face between his legs, praying, he said, "Look towards the sea. See if there's rain coming." And so the man came back and said, I don't see anything." Everybody shout, "I don't see anything." He said, "Go seven times if necessary and report back to me what you see." Seven. How many days in the week do we have?
Seven.
How many days a week should we be optimistic?
Seven.
How many days a week should we expect God's favor?
Seven.
So he said, the first time the guy goes back and he says, "Man, I don't see nothing. There's nothing good." He says, "Go again." You got to be careful who you send out into your future, because they will report back to you something that is not going to elevate your faith. It's going to demote your faith. They're going to say, "It's never going to change. Situation's the way it is. Didn't they give you 6 months to live?" When the doctor gives you 6 months to live, don't pay your bill. They'll give you another 6 months. Okay, so be careful who you're around. So he says, "Go again, go again." So fourth time he comes back, man, nothing's changed. Fifth time, nothing changed. On the seventh time, everybody shout, "The seventh time." On the seventh time when he comes back, he says, "I see a cloud the size of a man's hand." Now, we want to know what kind of man. We talk a little man. We talking a Michael Jordan type of man, right? So what kind of man we talk about? He said, "I see a cloud the size of a man's hand." Now, the way I like to illustrate this today is, you remember the movie Jim Carrey, when he had his hair combed down, his tooth was chipped, and he went up to the hot girl and he said, "What are the chances of a guy like me getting with a girl like you?" And she's like, "One in a million." And he said, "So you're saying there's a chance?" And that's the kind of life we did. So when he came back and said, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand, Elijah essentially said, "So you're saying it's about to rain." Then he goes and he says, "I hear the sound of the abundance of the land." Notice that faith hears things in the spirit. He said, "I can see what other people cannot see. Report back to me what is going on." In your life and mine, the greatest fight to faith is the fight you fight to keep from fighting in your mind. Between the "thus saith the Lord" and "I believe I receive," and then we physically have the vehicle manifest in our life. This might be a business for you. It might be a child stopped and acting cray cray. It might be a husband who decided to be nice. Come on, somebody ought to say amen in here. Whatever it is, there's that fight to faith. If there were not a fight to faith, then God wouldn't have called it the great fight of faith. He wouldn't have said, don't grow weary in well-doing. You will reap if you faint not. He wouldn't have said in 2 Corinthians 2:14, now thanks be unto God, which always causes me to triumph. If we didn't have something to overcome, then he wouldn't have put all the scriptures in the Bible. Then he said, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Here's what separates the men from the boys. A lot of people have the vehicle. They receive Jesus. They go to church. They have the vehicle, but they do not have the keys. The key, if you don't have the key to this, you're not going anywhere. So we go to church. We receive Jesus. But just because we have power in us, just because there's power under the hood, does not mean we're getting ready to traverse new territory until we put the keys in there. And the key is in the doing. I believe, not because I'm a pastor, but I believe in the renewing of your mind. I think a year from now, you're going to be exactly where you are today, or in worse shape, or better off, totally up to you and I, going to the right church, associating with the right people, so we send people out in our future and say, what's my future look like, huh? And so they report back and say, it's looking pretty good in the hood right now. It's looking like God's going to work all things together for your good. It's looking like that God's going to turn this reverse around for your promotion. Those are the kind of people that you have to have in your life if you're going to live your assigned appointment out. We all have an appointment. We need to be optimistic. We have to have the keys. Now, God can help you, and he can make things happen faster for you. I have a statement. You ought to write it down. One day of favor is worth 1,000 days of labor. One day of favor is worth 1,000 days of labor. So that's what it looks like here is 11 years ago. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Okay, not that song, but this is my story. 11 years ago, we had a church of 180 people. Last weekend, 11 years later, we had 18,100 people, noses in seats at our campus. That can't be done in and of yourself, but if God does it, then no one can argue with it. Now, I must tell you, I don't qualify for this position. In fact, if I were hiring staff, and we do, pastoral staff, I don't qualify. I wouldn't even look at me. I wouldn't even look at me because my resume does not qualify to be here. But if you got here first, y'all understand what I'm saying? If you were here when the game started, then you don't have to qualify because God qualified you. So here's my point to you is that this thing is that God's favor on your life is not based on your education. It is not based on who you know, who you didn't know, who used you, who abused you. It's based on his favor. So point being is God can accelerate you through this terrain and this setback quicker than you thought possible if you trust him and you give him all the glory and you hang around the right people, God being one of them. Matthew 19:26. It says, but Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Let's shout, all things are possible. One more time, class.
All things are possible.
Feels so good. One more time.
All things are possible.
All things are possible. We bought the biggest bar in the state of Missouri. We couldn't afford it, but we bought it anyway. They told me the electric bill would be more than $20,000 a month. I look like Elvis Presley. I look like Fred Sanford. This is the big one. They said that the payments would be $37,000 a month. They said that the taxes on the building because it's on the highway would be $550 a day. And I didn't have two nickels to rub together. All I had was one word from God. And he said, I want you to build a church. And I said, I want to as well. But this isn't a church. This is the biggest bar in the St. Louis. And God told me, what I'm going to do is I want you to point the finger at people this way and say, come here. We used to be in cahoots a little bit of Texas. He said, all the heathens are going to know how to get to that place because they've been there. Look at you. Come on. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Y'all been in here. You were here. Whoop, whoop. Come on now. Now you're out passing out tracts about the church. Back then, you were just passing out your tracts because you were doing what you were doing in the flesh. But then look what the Lord has done. And so that's my purpose. You have a purpose. You have an assignment. You have a God-given dream that's on the inside of you. And the enemy has tried to talk you out of it. And so the scripture says, hey, it's impossible in the natural that you could do this. But with God, all things are possible. Today, he is giving us the keys to the kingdom. Now, wouldn't this be really cool if it was like Oprah and we would say, underneath everyone's seat is the key to a brand new. Come on now. Wouldn't that be really cool? But Oprah ain't here. We on a budget. I done told you about all the bills we got. But we're giving you something more valuable than the keys to this. We're giving you the keys to the kingdom, and God can put his supernatural on your natural, and you can go further faster. Somebody ought to say amen. God can do for you in one moment's time what nobody else can do for you. Will you see? I'm going to break my legs. Or will you say, with that much manure, there's got to be a pony in there. As a man thinketh, so is he. If you can change the way you think, you can change the way you live. Joyce Meyer says, where mind goes, man follow. That was Joyce Meyer / Mr. Miyagi. Mind, think about new car, you get new car payment. You think about man, you get a man. Then you think, man, I don't want this man. So you got to be thankful what you think about. And you got to think about what you think about. Because if you think about what you've been thinking about, no wonder you have the manifestation of all the junk in your trunk. Well, I need a man real bad. Be careful, you might get a bad man. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Somebody ought to say, mm-hmm. I learned that from 8 o'clock back there in the back. She said, mm-hmm. I said, you like my sermon, Miss Ada? Mm-hmm. She said, why don't you go to my restaurant and we'll have collard greens together. They don't have collard greens in St. Louis really much anymore, but at my restaurant, they do. And I said, mm-hmm. I sat down with her and she said, you like it? I said, I do. She said, mm-hmm. Then Nicole preached the other day, and she said, you know, Nicole's, she's turning out to be a better preacher than you are. She likes to razz me, so she said, would you like me to give you your pink slip today or tomorrow? Look at your neighbor and say, So Mark 10:27. Jesus was blunt. Said, picture Jim Carrey. No chance at all if you think you can pull this off by yourself. But every chance in the world if you let God do it. You let God do it. Let God settle this thing. Let God deal with your adversary. Let God deal with the rent. Let God deal with the dream. Let God deal with that cray-cray uncle of yours. Let God deal with those haters. Come on, somebody. Let God deal with those people. Instead, we're in the flesh Facebook stalking people to see if their life is doing okay. And you're wasting your time seeing if he got a new woman. See if he got a new job. And we're wasting our time. You're not getting any smarter on social media. The best way to make money on social media is to close the app, get your butt to work. That's the best way to get your life moving forward. Mm-hmm. He said, no chance at all if you think you can pull it off by yourself, but every chance in the world if you let God do it. Let God do it. Well, I'm always wanting to help God. God, can I fix this? Hey, God, I got a good idea. I know you got a good idea, but I really think I can help you out. I know you're busy. You got a lot of stuff going on, but let me tell you how you can help me. And God's going, no, not this again. I don't need your help. Anybody got any little kids and they want to help you in the kitchen? I helped you and I made you breakfast. You're like, oh, God, no. You ever went in the kitchen and you're like, there's flour everywhere. Come on, raise your hand. Everything. You're like, oh, my gosh, that wasn't bacon. That was our kitten. That kid is. God doesn't need our help. So we're trying to help God, and God said, he didn't say, help me. He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lead not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. Okay, wait a minute. Direct your path. A lot of success in life is being at the right place at the right time, knowing and being with the right people. Let me ask you a question. How many of y'all can think of somebody right now that you're like, man, that person I'm thinking of really helped me, and they gave me some advice, and that kind of put me on the fast track to where I am today? Was it a person? Raise your hand if you can think of a person like that, a life coach, a teacher, a Sunday school teacher, a neighbor. Good job. So you just told me that most of the good thing that got you on the right path was God brought a person into your life, and that person helped navigate you to where you need to go. God's going to continue to use people. He's going to start bringing new people into your life, and I believe that I'm one of those people right now. I'm not asking you to go to a regular church. I'm not asking you, well, we're Baptist. We're First Baptist. We're Second Baptist. We're Third Baptist. Well, I never did understand that. If you're going to be Baptist, be First Baptist anyway. And I don't come to Third Baptist. Oh, we're First Presbyterian. We're Episcopal. We're Catholic. We're Pentecostal. We're Charismaniacs. You got all these labels that'll limit you. And we get to heaven. I'm sure God's smart. He's got doors everywhere. Catholic door. I'm looking for the Baptist door. Where's the Catholic door? Where's the Church of God in Christ? We got to get in that door right there. What's that door? And you open up all the doors and you stand in there and Jesus is going, surprise, surprise, surprise. You believed in me. It wasn't a denomination. It was believing in Jesus that made the difference in your life. It's all about Jesus. So I'm not saying go to a church where they talk Christianese. Go to a church where they confuse you. Go to a church where they answer questions that you are not asking. No, go to a church that empowers you on Sunday with the necessary keys to get you on the fast track to God's calling in your life on Monday so that you don't stay stuck in the same rut year after year in the flesh. Now, I want you to write this down. The toughest part in the fight of faith is the last 5 minutes. The last 5 minutes. Real quick stories. Believing God to buy this building, needed a loan. Needed a loan for $6.5 million. Didn't qualify for the loan. The bank that we had $1 million in even said, we won't give you the loan. And it was the last day. I needed it by 5 o'clock. At 10 o'clock on Friday, I was in the shower, and my mind was saying, you're not going to get the loan. I know God told you you're going to get the building. You already told the people you're going to get the building, but you're not going to get it. The enemy is a problem, but the inner me, unrenewed, is worse than the enemy. And so the inner me was saying, you don't qualify. Your daddy never did it. God didn't check in my past and my lineage to see how far I was going to make it, because he actually probably looked at my past and said, boy, you're going to have a testimony, boy, of the goodness of the Lord. Anybody like me and you're treated in port? So it's 10 o'clock in the morning. Nicole comes in. It's the last day. And she says, the bank called. And I'm like, oh, God. And she said, you got the loan. I drop down the shower. I'm crying. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, and then I realize, what am I thanking Jesus for? I owe $6 million. But God gave me my dream. It was part of my destiny. The worst, hardest part of faith, staying in faith, is the last 5 minutes. See, the winds blow when you step out of the boat and you start walking on the water. That's when the wind blows. And you start sinking. Remember that with Peter? It said he began to sink. You jump in a pool, you don't begin to sink. You just go down. But when your eyes get off the promise and it gets on the problem, then you begin to sink. But when you come to Faith Church and you hear the renewed word of God, and you go, no, I walk by faith and not by sight. Come on, somebody. What shall separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? Height, death, things present, things to come. Nothing shall. I'm not moved by what I see. I don't care what it looks like. Well, this is only the size of a man's hand. Doesn't matter. God can make it rain, and only God can make it rain. Next statement, the greatest fight to faith is the fight you fight to keep from fighting in your mind. I'm going to say it again. The greatest fight to faith is the fight you fight to keep from fighting in your mind. 33 years old, I'm a pilot for my dad, a worship leader. I feel a call to preach and to raise God up a big church. I'm at a church of 180 people with my dad. My friends have started. They have 800 people. My gosh, they have a church of 1,000 people. My brain's going, you're never going to make it. You should have got started early. It's never going to happen. And then all of a sudden, 11 years ago, God put his super on my natural, and we built one of the biggest churches in America, and I blew past the people that I was looking at thinking, man, I'll never be. You might be looking, I'll never get married. I'll never have a family. Listen, God can give you a woman. With me, I didn't have kids. Got divorced. 8 years later, didn't have one of kids. Didn't have any kids. Married a girl that had an 8-year-old boy. I never changed a diaper. Come on, somebody ought to say amen. I never went through the terrible twos. He was old enough to take out the trash and wash my car. This is the goodness of the Lord. God can take you in a moment's time and run you through to where you're supposed to go. You can't lose with the stuff we use because we're talking about God, El Shaddai. The greatest fight to faith is the fight you fight to keep from fighting it in your mind. But I went bankrupt. It's okay. But my marriage is over. It's okay. But they say I have cancer. It's okay. My child is on drugs. It's okay. But it's always been this way. And it'll always, no. Not with the new keys. Well, I tried God before. I tried church before. No, you tried the wrong church. See, you can go to a church where a lot of people act like they're saved. They can act like they got revelation. They can act like they got information. And you can even steal information, but you can't steal revelation. You can say, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I got a revelation that ain't God good. Look what the Lord has done. Okay? Talking about all terrain. Talking about getting from where you are to where you and I need to go. Scripture I want to read to you is James 4:7. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Humble yourself. One thing that you and I think, at the end of the day, we think that we're God in the sense that we can fix it. So if you're playing tennis or you're playing golf, if I'm playing tennis, they tell me what to do. And they go, hey, but when I go to really, I got to make that shot, I go back to what I always did because I know I can hit that. But if you get the right, I learned bad habits and you revert back to your default settings go back to, I got to figure this out. We can't. You have to renew your mind. And when you renew your mind by coming to church, hearing the word of God like this, what you're doing is you're demoting yourself. James 4:7, you're humbling yourself before God. You're resisting the devil. I'm not going to believe that. I don't care that it's just the size of a man's hand. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm moved by faith. And therefore, check this out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you put more of the word in you, when squeezed, the word comes out of you. Have you ever been in a situation, or not you, but have you ever seen someone in a situation and you were surprised what they said when they got scared? Okay, let me try that again. Have you ever heard tell of somebody that hit their thumb with a hammer and you were surprised at what they said? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's the same thing that happens when you meet that guy. Oh, I just love him. He's just so awesome. He's just so good looking. He got 6-pack abs, girl. He is just beautiful. I just love that boy. Is that right? And then later, it's on your heart again. He's just a loser. He sits on the couch all the time. How do you think he had those 6-pack abs? He didn't have a job because you can't have 6-pack abs and got a job. Come on, guys. We got to stay together on this right now. We get hungry. But the point is, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? So I got a problem. I don't know what's going to happen. Oh. No, when you renew your mind, you start saying what God says about you. I know the plans he has for me, and they're for good and not for evil. Yeah, you know what? I'll just decree and declare right now, 9-9-1-1 call is Psalms 91:1, okay? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul in the path of righteousness by his name, saying, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. Watch that. What are you doing? You're putting on the helmet of salvation saying, I don't think like that anymore. I can change my mind. I can change my life. Come on, somebody. I'm giving the keys right now. If I can just get my mind right, if I can get my head right, my heart's right, my head's just jacked up. So my heart says, God's good, but my head jacked up. This morning, I got in an argument with Nicole. She got in an argument with me, really. She came downstairs. I was in a bad mood when she came downstairs. I already knew good and well I was going to pick a fight with her. I was going to pick a fight with the first person I saw. Don't look at me in that tone of voice this morning. She walked down and then in the middle of something, we got into something, and I realized halfway through this argument, I mean, it wasn't crazy, it's just arguments, just strife, confusion, just the devil jacking with you. And so sometimes, have you ever noticed that if you're unhappy with you, you got to put it out on somebody else? Two people. Well, let me tell you about us regular folks. A lot of us regular people, sometimes if I'm unhappy with me, I'm unhappy with everybody. You ever heard the term, if mama ain't happy? Okay. And same goes for daddy. Who's your daddy? Daddy got problems. So then I realized halfway through the argument I was wrong. That I needed to tell her, now this is what would be smart. In the middle of the argument, when you're wrong, I should be able to look at her and go, you know what? I'm totally wrong. I picked a fight with you. I was messed up when I started. I apologize. You're an incredible woman. I'm sitting here arguing over something so stupid. Then she'd be like, oh, I love you. I can't live if living is without you. I'm your lady. You are my man.
Let's get it on.
I made a plate of video today. I don't know. But I was messed up in my head. But my heart was right. Anybody in here ever had your heart right, but your head was wrong? Look at your neighbor and say, now I understand what your problem is. So what would have been smart through a renewed mind, I should have said, I am sorry, we are unplugging the keys to that. This is stupid. You're an incredible woman, and I was aggravated with me, and I woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Let me go back upstairs and get back in bed and get back up on the right side of the bed. That would have been the right thing to do, but I did not do that. I did it because I want to teach you. But you know what I did? After the first service, after I got up and I started preaching, and I realized, are you out of your mind? You are a big baby. You text her. So I got in the car and said, you know, blah, 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 blah. I might have been wrong. I could have been. And God's like, you delete that text. God's looking over my shoulder. You stop that. You tell her there's no excuse for that and you were wrong for that and you were sorry. A couple minutes later, honey, I'm so sorry. I knew you were tired. You preached 17 services last week and you've been tired all week, but I love you. And I'm just sorry that I didn't so the next thing you know, you went from texting to sexting. You just all of a sudden just said, cool. I didn't mean it. Yes, I did. Yeah, I did. I'm looking at text right now. Jesus, thank you, Lord. This is the smart thing to do. Going to church, renewing our mind, heals our marriage. Okay, you build the greatest business in the world, but she runs off with half of it. I don't know if you heard of the new divorce Barbie, but it comes with all Ken's stuff. And you live your life miserable trying to change them when in reality, we need to change us. And if we can change us, then we can change the world. So the enemy and the enemy of our soul, somebody ought to help me today, continues to fight against our mind. And that's why I say the greatest fight to faith is the fight you fight to keep from fighting in your mind, because all the junk in your past continues to drag into your future. And at some point, you need to say, by God, I'm going to church. I'm renewing my mind. I'm going to be right because God set me right. I'm still going to make mistakes. But I am not my mistake. Come on, somebody. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And you strip off that old way of thinking, and you put on a new, you clothe yourself with righteousness. Doesn't spit all over my clothes. Okay, so watch this. Eddie Long, watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this. Watch this. He always says, watch this, but he never tells you anything. You know, for five. Watch this, watch this, watch this. Could it be that during the next few weeks, the next four Sundays of All Terrain, that you need to be in the seat, strapped in, shoulder harness on, going, I didn't just go to church, I grow to church. And I'm going to learn things on Sunday that gives me the power to walk through this terrain to get to the next level in God. Because we don't want to be like the children of Israel and run around the same mountain for the next 40 years. We want to move forward progressively, and one day of favor can launch us in past 1,000 days of labor. As I close, this vehicle is owned by Pitbull Power Sports. 3 years ago, Pitbull Power Sports didn't exist. It was a dream in the mind of a guy named Ricky who went to church with me forever. He's a little boy, and show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Ricky got around an iConnect group, essentially Mike Lacerco and I, and we were just talking and said, why do you keep working for that guy? Why do you keep griping about that? And he started his own business. Now, 3 years later, Pitbull, Power Sports, Can-Am, all your UTVs with the three wheels, you know, the trikes and Sea-Doos. The biggest dealer in the United States of America is Pitbull Power Sports. 3 years, the biggest in America. Now, let me ask you guys, a lot of people say, man, 3 years is phenomenal. It really wasn't 3 years. It really started when he was 5 years old, when he's 10 years old, when he's 15 years old. I watched Garth Brooks the other day on an interview, and they said, man, you know, how'd you get where you're at? And he's like, you know, they said, you're an overnight success. And he said, boy, it sure was a long night. Because there was a lot of honky-tonks, a lot of guitar picking, a lot of songwriting, and you're there right now. It's been a long night. But all of the stuff you have been through was to get your trajectory right, to get you to the right place, to get you strapped in, come on somebody, so that God could do it for you and with you and to you. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, I pray for our congregation today here at Faith Church and our congregation online. And God, all the people watching in Palm Beach County, Delray, Boca, Jupiter, West Palm, God, all the people in Ferguson, Florissant, Chesterfield, God, in Illinois, God, a church alive is worth the drive. And I thank you, Lord, that you're speaking to their heart today. One, to receive you. And two, to get to Faith Church so they can renew their mind, so the rest of their life can be the best of their life. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Was that all right for today? Give God praise. Woo! Look at your neighbors. I feel good.
For more information about Pastor David's teaching and ministry, visit davidcrank.com.
People connect, families grow, lives change.